You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
That's how it starts?
Yeah.
Are we starting?
Usually we don't even talk before we start recording, but we chatted earlier.
So now there's nothing left to talk about.
They should just start with nothing, everybody.
Usually we start with laughing. We like a fake laugh. And then we like fade in and do the thing.
Should we do that? Should we get everybody in here to like fake laugh?
Yeah, let's fake laugh. And then
so
we'll,
everyone
then we'll, like,
on the count of three, let's fake laugh, okay? One, two, three.
Hey, that's great. Welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast. I'm Morgan, TJ, Babs, and Tyson.
What's up?
Tyson from Parenthood.
Yes.
Thank you for being
here. And also the All-American Rejects.
And thank you for being here with us. This has been a really cool weekend with the Urban. I'm just going to work here now because everybody here is so nice and good at their jobs.
It's
and
true.
We're all really bad at it. So I'm just going to stay here, guys. This is my resignation. But anyway, you have a bunch of stuff coming up. We have like a lot of... Usually, I just talk about myself for an hour.
Let's talk about that fresh ink on your neck there.
My buddy named Clay Gibson did it.
Oh, wow.
And everybody has been like, did you just get a new tattoo?
Bink.
Yeah. So it's been really nice all weekend, everybody just touching me.
What does it mean?
It's like a... I was like, where do I have a spot to do it? That's usually what I do. I'm like,
that's a new thing with the culture. It's just like, fill it all up.
Yeah. Well, I did it when I started when I was 17. Because
what's the first tat? Let's go through your tattoo.
My tattoo
lineage.
Oh, you want to see my tattoos?
Yeah, we might as well. We're on tattoos already. So
it was this one was the first one.
Oh, which looks like
now
a kid
it's just a blob
sort
because
of
when
sad.
You when you get older, you get fatter. So and then also your skin stretches and then all the ink just goes away.
My
and
favorite
so
we
don't
joke
age.
Is when Morgan takes off his shirt, he has an Ed Hardy shirt already on his skin.
I literally look like I'm just wearing a
badge, all traditional,
like I'm like Christian Audigier shirt.
Nice.
Is that his last name?
So you're gonna do the rest of the podcast shirtless?
Yeah, you don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. So you did our 2 year. Which was one of my favorite moments that we've been doing. So we've been doing EMI for 2.5 years. That was one of my favorite moments. We planned the balloon drop.
Oh, yeah. It was our first balloon
didn't
drop ever.
Didn't expect it. Very nice balloon
you
drop.
Get, like, your face when it happened was the most priceless.
We didn't get
like...
to talk about this, but afterwards I wanted to say good balloon drop. Yeah,
thank
that
you.
Was,
that was
Ricky
all...
was the string puller.
Ricky, the intern, but now the employee.
It was charged,
that.
Man. Felt like, I mean, might as well have been bombs. That's how amazing
we
were
walking around. We were all so busy running around, and we were like, Ricky, where the fuck are you?
It was
you
a shit to... show. My guitarist had a panic attack. He was just like, personal space.
Is that what happened? Because Babs and I were on stage for like what seemed like forever. We were just like waiting. Remember?
Yeah, they were like, "Here come the All-American Rejects."
Yeah, and then
that's
like 10
when
minutes.
You should have had the acapella group be like, "Bud and Scooby." They had like some acapella group come on right before us, and I was like, "All right, this is fucking weird."
Yeah, no. Everything we do, we're like, "How do we make this so weird for the people that are coming?"
It was great, though. It was incredible. You had an Oompa band out front. You had, like, it was like this just cultures collide. You had, like, didn't you have, like, a tuba brass section?
Yeah.
Like
we had a marching
oh,
band.
Oh, was it like a miniature? It was like a miniature Black Parade.
Yeah.
That's what it was kind of, it was like, it was really adorable.
I think it was like 10 or 12 piece. I don't know if we could afford the 12. We had to go with the 10.
Yeah. I'm not trying to knock the size of your parade. It was big enough. It's not the size of the parade. It's how you use it. And
is there anything more self-gratifying than a parade, though? Maybe a guitar solo.
It was a giant stroke fest. Let's call it what it is. You guys were like, oh, we're emo now. This is awesome.
How many bass drums could we have got? Well, you should just get a whole bass drum. So we brought those dudes to New York with us, too. The most impressive.
Nice.
I was most impressed. Your set was great, but I was most impressed with them.
Of course.
Because they are like, they're like... We don't know any of these songs, and they learned had sheet music right there, and were learning it as they played.
Oh yeah, one guy showed up had never even heard one of the songs, like the night of. He's like, "I'm gonna wing it." I was like, "Good luck."
Never underestimate the power of nerd.
Do you know how to read sheet music?
Yeah, I can read the G scale, the old standard piano scale. I played violin when I was a kid. And this sucks, actually. I'm a left-handed person, and the dude refused to teach me left hand, so I had to put everything over here, and then now I play everything right-handed. It was really a shitty thing to do to a kid. It's like, hey, guess what? You're left-handed, but no, I'm going to teach you the other way that I know how.
Do it the normal way.
But now, don't worry, there's no music in schools anymore, so nobody has anything to worry about.
Can you play upside down, like the guitar? Like if you, I played in a band with a dude that was like, his trick, like this was like, he was like, oh man, this is going to be really great for our band, and he could just play the guitar upside down. And I was like, it's still a guitar, and you're not that great at it, but it was like the way that he thought it was like the coolest thing in the
world.
It was
the signature thing.
It was the equivalent of his signature thing.
Everybody, AFI had the guitar swing thing. You're like, we're going to make our moniker with the fucking upside down guitarist.
And that's why that band does not exist anymore.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen, though. It didn't happen.
The band was called, I don't want to
talk. Come on, talk. What's the band name?
Let's not talk about that.
That's what that black rose is on your neck. That's to memorialize
that
band.
Rest in peace, that band. They made me wear a tie, and I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, when you suit up with the tie, you're either like this confused specials offering. You're like, well, we don't have horns, but we wear suits, and we're not the Hives.
You remember Mighty Mighty Bosstones?
Yeah.
You remember how they had one dude that specifically skanked?
Yeah, no, he was the hype man. He was like the like Bo from Avail. He was like, yeah.
Do you think he's just in some bar right now?
Like, skanking?
Just being like...
just getting paid to skank.
He's just like, hey, did I turn this off? He's like, hey, remember that band, Mighty Mighty Bosstones? Yeah, I was a skanker. He's just like hitting on chicks, skanking.
He's in his house like late at night playing the impression that I get, but he's like, yo, check this track out. That's me on there. Oh, yeah, what did you do? He just stands up and starts...
I think about the Mighty Mighty Bosstones like 4 or 5 times a day. And like what that dude is doing. I always just imagine him sad in a bar being like, I was the one that made that fucking band.
They have a night for the Mighty Mighty Bosstones at the Echoplex as well. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, like Ska Night?
No, it's called Bosstones Night and it's hosted by the guy that skanks.
Bosstones Night LA.
Bosstones Hour. they do it from 6 to 7.
So you have a tour coming up.
Yeah. Oh, now we're getting on some things that are actually real.
That was a nice bullshit round, though.
That was like a good 5 minutes of nothingness.
Oh, because
really
usually it's an hour of that, so.
People are actually at home just going like, it's like the new season of Twin Peaks. It's just like, when does this actually make sense?
Hey, I have a, can we talk
I'll
about that?
I'll still watch this shit, but I'm waiting to connect. Yeah, the All American Rejects are going on tour this summer with Dashboard Confessional for the first time ever, which seems like bizarre
to me.
That's
wild.
Yeah, no, it's we're really actually excited because we're old enough to be like responsible on tour as opposed to like because Chris is such a great guy, and I've always been such a sort of like kind of polarizing guy on the road because. You get this thing when you're on the road for like a month where you kind of go crazy because you're in this bus, which is like, I just called it an above ground fucking submarine. And you go from show to show to show to show. And it's not like you go into town and be like, okay, I'm going to go do some shopping at Urban. You just live in the vessel and stay trapped in your bubble. And after, I got like a 12-day thing. After 12 days solid on the road, I either, you know, kind of get terribly cagey and like really neurotic and just start like, you know, drawing shit on stage and just like trying to find stupid things to do to occupy my time. But now I've kind of got that under control, I think. I mean, idle hands on the road have always been sort of like, I mean, it's terrible. It's imagine being at summer camp for the entire time. Warped Tour is a perfect example. Every time we would do Warped Tour, 2 months in, you're seeing people that have done like 20 days in a row. Or like, you know, 20 days in a row for three sets now or whatever. It's been like 60 days, right? And everybody's batshit crazy and everybody's got their nightlife tense and it's literally like fucking hedonism.
Yeah, I don't know how any band
does that. Have you guys been to like a post-Warped Tour rap barbecue thing or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. But we did a few Warped Tours last year. We just like sold merch and like hung out. And even just going to it, I was like, I've got to
Yeah, we didn't hop on the road and like, go on a bus and go from city to city. We did like three or four of them.
Oh, so you just like tasted, you just got litmuses, but you were probably really objective to the whole thing. You're like, wow, this is a bunch of fucking crazy dudes. Just like, and what's crazy is, like early 2000s, it was like, you know, Dropkick Murphys was had like poker night, and you'd just be like, oh, am I getting invited to that? Yo, he took me on the back of his bus, and like, we totally like chiefed out and like went and played poker with the Dropkick Murphys. That was awesome. And then, like, fast forward to, like, I think 07, we did, like, 19 dates or something like that. Maybe it was 05. And this is when, like, EDM culture was getting integrated into Warped Tour. So there was those kids, and they were kids, man. They were all, like, you know, 19, 18. And we were, like, we were all of a sudden, like, the elders. Like, for us, it was, like, Rancid and Dropkick and, like, real true, like honestly, punk dudes, like, where, you know, it was Fat Mike being like, hey, I like your tattoo. And I was like, I like your band. Yeah. Like, I totally blew my Fat Mike intro. I was like, I like your band. Blah. And so we were like the elders. And then all of a sudden the EDM kids were literally just dropping X and like literally traveling in these like little like scaredy packs between bet buses, like just rolling their fucking faces off. And so we're just like here kicking back with like beers, just being like, look at these fucking freaks, man. This is the greatest people watching in history. I remember we would literally just sit out in front of the bus and just, like, watch the show. It was like shit show every night. Which has nothing to do with this tour I'm doing with Dashboard this summer. I think my whole rounding the point was is now this is going to be, like, the tamest, like, tour we've ever been on.
Yeah, I saw that you tweeted that you guys are doing covers of each other's songs.
Yeah. We're like, well, we need to, like, do something fun. I was like...
What if you just made your whole set their songs and they made their set your songs?
I think we should make an effort to do that on a night that just really blows. We'll be like, or that two-week mark, we'll be like, you know what? Can I just play bass for you and you go sing for this band and we'll just see if anyone notices?
That would be so sick.
Everybody's just really confused.
Giving us ideas.
Like upset.
They like, don't know whether to clap or go home. They're like, did he just do a Dashboard song?
Yeah, we should just do like one giant combined set where it's like just like Earth, Wind, and Fire. There's like 15 band members.
What if you guys just played your sets at the same time?
It would be like the ultimate mashup.
Yeah, no,
it would
it's
all
not,
just it would
you
be
don't
like,
even time it
and then like
yeah, you just do the same thing at the same time. It's the first time it's ever been done.
Falsetto and guttural Chris Carrabba screaming at the
I
same
thought
time.
A really funny
it would actually sound fuck I think it was
did I think good. I thought of a really like I was going to bed one day and I was like, what would be the funniest festival in the entire world? And it would be like bands in a circle, but everybody stands in the or stays in the middle, and all of the bands play at the same time, and then you go home, and it's an hour festival, but you see like 25 bands,
and it actually just all just melds into just a Mumford and Sons song.
Yeah. Dude, so I mean, these guys won't stop talking about Parenthood. I don't want to.
It's funny.
Real quick though.
I gave up on network TV a long time. Look,
no, but real quick, Miles, I told you this.
Yeah,
Miles
yeah,
came to DJ,
pictures.
Who plays Drew on the show, and he comes out, and so I introduced him as that, even though he's in, like, the coolest new show, 13 Reasons Why.
Was he
but
super
he comes bummed? Out, I'm like, everyone, here's Miles from Parenthood. And it's just, like, nobody,
crickets.
Like, crickets. And I'm like, all right, 13 Reasons Why, and everyone's like, woo!
So
but it was so funny. He was so embarrassed. He was like, oh.
Everybody told me that it's too sad, and that's why I can't
no,
watch
it's the
it.
Best show of all time.
I watched it when I was
it's
going through a
big
very
statement.
Hard time.
It's the best show of all time.
Yeah, I mean, screw Breaking
Everybody
Bad.
Should watch it. It's
you
so
think
good.
That that's the best show of all time?
No, I was just, I think it was really well done.
Have you seen Fargo?
Right?
Yeah, this season? First two? Yeah.
Really? I go 1-3-2.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Well, but you believe and love Ewan McGregor, then, obviously.
I mean, he's amazing. He plays two people. Yeah. I'm willing to give my computer aids to download it, like, the second it comes out.
I only like him when he's narrating over, you know, the Trainspotting film.
Did you see Trainspotting 2?
No, I didn't. I heard it was great.
I heard it was great, too.
That's
what everybody says, and they're like, yeah, I heard it's great. I didn't see it.
We should go see it.
So who's
together.
The one person that's saying it's great?
Adam, did you see it? There you go. And there it
so
is.
So Ricky's the one person who's seen it, and he's telling everyone it's great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Movie reviews, just throwing those
but
in
wait,
now.
Back to Parenthood. This is important.
Oh, no, okay, great. Yeah, no.
Tell us just, like, one
what was
fun
it like?
Memory or anything. about it.
I don't, you know, honestly, the whole thing was a really fun experience. Peter Krause was, honestly, the memory I have was I was around the side of a soundstage, and this was when I was still smoking Parliaments, which I kind of miss a lot.
That's cool.
But I was like smoking a cigarette, and he comes around, and he's like, "Hey, man, really nice having you on the set," and blah blah blah. And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man. I loved you." And, you know, 6 Feet Under, I think, you know, one of the greatest like, dramas. And he was like, "You should stay with it, man. You should stay with this acting thing. You really, I like your vibe." And I was like, "Man, thank you, Mr. Krause." That was like my, that was my fond memory. It was like he actually encouraged me to stay with acting, and the last 4 years, that's kind of what I've been doing.
Do you know what I like the best about sets? Free food.
Crafty. Oh, man. I was on a set down in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, and it was the greatest offering I've ever seen. It was.
Did you get a bunch of cool soul food?
Oh, yeah.
I had
fried
the
oysters.
I had the best meal of my life in New Orleans. It was alligator cheesecake.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't cheesecake, though. It was
cheesecake
like
that looked like alligators, no, or cheesecake with chunks and bits of alligators.
It was not a dessert, as you would think. Yeah, no, it was the best thing I've ever had. What? It's fucking good. Hannah?
I feel bad every time you see, like, an alligator die. Isn't that weird? You, like, see those wrangling shows, and they're like, "Get him in the boat, Bob! Get him in the fucking boat!" And you're just like, that was like a big-ass lizard, man. Like, what was he really? He should have, like, I always root for them to bite the hand off, but they never even get close. Just a little sad anecdote about alligators.
What are you working on now, like, acting-wise?
I got this TV show that I'm not allowed to say that I'm on, but I'm on a TV show that's really kick-ass and coming out. The second season's coming out very soon, actually. And so that was fun. That was why I was in New Orleans. And then, got a couple films coming out this next year. And, yeah, I've been working on that alongside with the Rejects, trying to get some music together, which we're... So it's kind of like I'm just trying to dance in all areas.
Did you know you wanted to do that, or is this something you fell into?
You know, I always got on a stage because it was, you know... I first started doing Playhouse stuff, and I'm from Stillwater, Oklahoma, so I got on a stage because I loved the way it made me feel, and then there was this really shitty band in my local town, and they needed a bass player because nobody wants to play bass. It's like this sort of like
it's
the
like
last
a,
one.
Yeah,
I was
it's
like,
a
I
pretend
gotta get a
instrument.
Guitar. Yeah, totally. I can play Today by the Pumpkins on my guitar. I can't play that shit on a bass. And so I lied, told them I could play, got a bass from my dad. I made it like that was all I wanted for Christmas. And 2 weeks I learned all their songs. And because it was like full on ska. It was like Goldfinger covers and like
sick.
Really shitty, shitty ska stuff. And I liked like Third Eye Blind. And like, they were like, you're a douche. Like, that music sucks. And then everybody, like, literally, like, one kid, like, he, like, was a pothead, and he, like, got taken to drug court, and he's like, bye, see ya. And then another kid was like, yo, I'm, like, 20, you guys are 15. I, like, you know, I like having Hot. Sex and a life. So he left the, and
the
so
other
it was
guy
just
went
Nick
on
and
to
I.
become the skanker for the Boston.
Yeah, another guy went up to be the, yes, just, the very popular
buy
skank
them
master.
They just go in the band to buy him cigarettes.
And then so it was just Nick and I, writing music, and then we sent it out totally unsolicited, and we were jamming Get Up Kids and all the Pete Rose sort of music mm-hmm. of Lawrence, and we unsolicited sent a CD out. Girl pulled it out of a trash can, and then they flew down to see us in Tulsa playing as a two-piece with a drum machine as to nobody. We were opening for Bowling for Soup, and we got signed right then and there when I was like, you know, I was 16. This like cool little record lady was like, we need to talk shop. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't even know what that phrase means, but it sounds sexy. And then we were like signed. So yeah, I don't remember what the question was, but that's our little quick story of how we got started with the music. I always wanted to be on a stage. And it's funny, a lot of people sort of just chalk me up as being, or I guess a lot of people like it's like this big thing. Yeah, no. The people who gave a shit about this band.
Which is a lot of people.
Let's just, well, thank, hey.
Thank you.
Just want to get a leg touch in.
Keep doing that.
Yeah, okay. The people that gravitated towards this band always saw me as on stage. I was always a little bit, I always, you know, I came from the school of love and like, Iggy Pop and, you know, Freddie Mercury and, like, people that brought bravado to the stage. And everybody, I remember, especially when Twitter came out, every night was like, wow, how many drugs was this guy on tonight? And I was like, it's kind of disheartening when you think that you're like, man, just because I'm doing some shit that you can't touch,
that you have to label it.
We have to make an excuse for it. Like, we don't understand it. Because, and that's, I think that's what's fallen even from a newer generation, is like people don't regard performances as something that they don't know what it's about, man. I see people literally, like, nowadays, like, behind their phones, this is how they are the whole concert. And whenever I sort of, like, either point them out or I do something, they're just like, like, because it's like, you know, a lot of cats are just pushing space bar these days, and it's all about the lights behind them and shit. And when you see a band that actually tries to bring a show live, it's sort of like, it creates confusion. They're like, oh my God, I don't know how to react to this. That's like some shit. That's like some retro shit. And
it's funny because one time in San Francisco, I saw you guys on Halloween and you were dressed as a mummy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was
but
my
like
favorite.
Your face was covered too, so you couldn't see anything.
I mummied my whole body.
So you were just like running around stage, like rolling around and like bumping into stuff. And I was like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, I completely overheated. I asphyxiated my entire body. Like my every bit was covered in bandages. It was like the greatest.
Do you remember?
That was such
amazing.
A fun show for me.
Yeah. Do you remember all the shows you played? Because I don't remember like what I did like a couple hours ago.
No, it used to be my routine was like drink a half a bottle of wine and like, you know, I used to partake in, you know, I'd take a couple Chiefs back in the day when I was a kid, and I don't remember like 22 to like 25 specifically. I can have people like not the entire years, but show wise, I don't remember like, oh yeah, they're like, oh my God, I saw you at this show and you did this. And I'm like, yeah, probably.
I saw you at a hotel cafe and where you guys did like
the acoustic thing.
You did the acoustic thing. And it was one of the, it like solidified me as like a big fan because of, you made it into like it was really funny.
It was storytellers.
It was really entertaining. It was really funny and it was really personal. And you're like, we're gonna play this album. I know you guys didn't know this. We will play the hits at the end, but I'm gonna tell stories about it in between this. And it made it really, really personal and cool. And I thought it was out of all the shows that I've seen, I thought it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Also,
wow. Now you make me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Are you going to touch his knee again?
I saw Matt Pryor. I saw the last time I saw the Get Up Kids, I saw Matt Pryor was like looking at the audience. And he was like, if you didn't look at him, he looked like he was like really disappointed father. He was like really mad. Do you know him?
Morgan was like,
I was like, they're one of my favorite bands in the entire world. And and every time he looked at me, I'd like be like, oh, I know this song. I'm going to sing it to you so you know that I know this. And I'm not looking at my phone and I'm not talking to anybody else. And all my eyes are on you.
I remember Matt him Pryor. Just like elbowing me and being like, I know all the words, but I'm too scared to sing it because Matt Pryor is looking at me. And if I fuck up, he's going to be mad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be really, really mad at me.
That was a great band, man.
They are a great band.
Yeah. Oh, they still play?
I just saw them. I think they did like a reunion thing. I mean, that was what I grew up on.
We saw them like
2 years
ago. That was
seminal, totally.
4 Minute Mile is top five favorite albums of all time and will always probably be that way. And I think it's like, there are a lot of new bands. Have you heard a lot of the newer emo bands? Because I think they're a lot.
I'm so not with it, man. Yeah, I'm not hip to the jazz of the new age. But is it cool? Are there people in this room that are like into the new age emotional?
Yeah, it actually sounds like that stuff. And that's what drew me to it. Because like there was like that time, that EDM time, where I just blanked out.
Our friend Tyson is here.
Ecstasy,
and he's in a really good band called Crooked Teeth. That you should check out.
Nice.
Tyson.
Your teeth do not look crooked, Ben. You seemed all right. You're like, it's not me. It's the
Did you dye your hair? You look like a beautiful woman.
I think that's really cool because I was thinking it's like, you remember that band The Darkness?
Yeah, dude, they had like, one hit.
Right, but it's kind of funny. Like that was, you could consider that an homage to like 80s, 70s rock, and it was considered like a cartoon and a joke. But it's like, emo music is something that is, you know, people embraced it because it was actually something that spoke to people, which I think is really great. Like, 80s rock was all about the sort of reckless abandonment of, like, reality. It's like, girls, girls, girls. It's like, whatever. That's like, dude, really, this is my fucking funeral song, bro. I want you to eulogize me. And then as mom gets up to look at my body, I want to hear Vince Neil singing Girls, Girls, Girls. Like, if nobody's going to have that at their funeral. I mean, okay, one dude in Vegas who got the Kiss casket. But yep. No.
I think the 80s, there was like every single 80s, there was 100 albums of the 80s that were strictly about cocaine.
Yeah, right.
Like, let's just make it about this so much, we have to whole make a genre about it. Yeah. Which is, you know.
But I feel like now all the music is about Molly, so it's like the same.
About what?
Molly, or whatever.
Who's she?
Ecstasy.
Molly,
I don't
and
know.
Percocet.
What do the people say
I'm
now?
So old that I used to call it Ecstasy. I call it Ecstasy.
Oh, okay.
Back in my day.
Every time I did Ecstasy, I shaved my head, which was two times.
Notice the hair length. Notice the hair length. He's good. He's on the up and up now, kids.
No, you can tell. This is how long I've done. I've not done Ecstasy in is the...
That the blonde is actually turning
it's
brown.
It's a telling thing. My ex-girlfriend used to come home and I had my head shaved and she was like, what'd you do tonight? And I was like, I don't fucking just grinding my teeth watching Animal
You shaved planet. Your head. She knew it was ecstasy. You shaved your pubes. She knew it was acid.
Yeah. Like, I just shaved different parts of me.
You wore your drugs.
Yes.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's like a giant warning sign before you. Don't approach him. His toenails have been clipped.
It was very telling. It's a very, very, very telling thing. I was made it very apparent which drug I was on. I used to shave my head just so I could, like, I could rub it. I think is what was the thing. I was like, I just want to feel something good.
So you immediately just go, like, this is here. Well, this doesn't need to be here.
I mean, when you're in that mindset, you're like, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I have no.
You know, it's a really good idea leaving everybody and going home and watching Animal Planet and shaving your head and touching it until you go to bed.
Well, you tee it up like that.
Yeah, no, does that sound good? I gotta go, guys. So I mean, and then I mean, I understand the stage thing. We as like a company, we try to put our hands in a lot of different stuff, and it's like I feel like there's a lot of. A lot of things, like Emo Night is very fulfilling, Ride or Cry is very, very fulfilling, but there's always more. And I think that is, I'm in a band too, like TJ's played in bands, and like it's been part, I think all the big thing about acting and playing in a band and doing a bunch of other shit is that it's constantly fulfilling a creative need that like I will Absolutely. Personally never I don't think I will ever fulfill, and I'll always continuously looking for more things to do.
Because why do you think we got like a marching band or like an a cappella group? You know, we try to put everything that we have creatively into the event. It's not just like we're sitting behind a computer and pressing play like we were at the beginning, but
we still do that.
We still do that a lot of the time, but we try to make it.
No, but it was never like that to me. What you guys had started and what you did. Every time I heard about it, it was all about the gathering itself. It was like the fact that people wanted a place to go to celebrate not only the music that they love and loved, but the actual like. The gathering itself was like just an acknowledgement of the fact that, yo, this did happen. This wasn't, because I feel like emo was something that we in our high school environments or in our college environments, like it was a very personal thing. Like you didn't have like, let's go to this emo show. You'd be like the one sort of obscure person that had a friend that you agreed to drag with you to this show. And they were like, oh shit, man, this is actually kind of with it. Whereas now it's like there's actually more than just you in your bedroom. It's like there's like a couple thousand kids once
so
a month.
Do you think in that way, the term emo has changed through time?
Oh, I think Jesus Christ, this chain was selling emo coffee table books like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? When it was still this lost, kind of bastardized joke. Like people would be like, oh, that's so emo. And like that was, it was almost just like a label of like just disregard. And I think now it's like, no, man, this is, it's deeper than just the word emo. It's like it represents a group of kids who were maybe not the coolest and maybe not with all the new like shit. Which is, I mean, even being in my band, we're the band that got played on radio. I feel like we're the bastards of emo. And I kind of love being that because I feel like emo itself is kind of an oxymoron. And people that are weird or people that are not normal, are finally like waking up to the fact that, God damn, it feels great to be weird. And it feels great to not be the ham and egg, 9 to 5, you know, just vanilla milk toast pieces of shit that literally fall into the programming and are the same people that have, you know, perpetuated this ignorance that get people that rule this country elected and shit like that, man. I'm so proud to not be a part of a culture that is like just perpetuating ignorance and just frigid fucking zombie behavior. Definitely. I know that's kind of like really like heady for just a simple question, but I think it's important to like it's funny, we're, you know, these things that happened just even in the last couple of years, even with the political climate, which I know nobody really wants to talk about because everybody loves living in this beautiful ignorance. But, which I do too, I'm guilty of it too. I'm like, yo, I woke up and I had my eggs and I didn't want to turn on CNN or wake up to the fact that we're in this giant shitstorm political climate. But this is like, this is a clubhouse. This is like where we can go at least to make sense of who we are and continue to find ourselves in this bullshit facade that we continue to pay taxes for.
So you, Morgan, did an emo night on election night in Denver.
And yeah, it was one of the strangest.
That was
things.
Heavy,
dude. I gotta tell you, it was one of the strangest and weirdest and most surreal moments I've ever had in my entire life. Because we were doing it at where's the place we do it? There? The Marquee
in
the Marquee,
Theater.
And like everybody knew what was happening. They had it on the TVs, and everybody was trying their hardest to have a good time, and. I mean, when I would keep going to the back and checking my phone. It was like, and I was like, holy shit, this is like at the beginning of the night, you're like, okay, this will go down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, this will go down. And then when it was closer to the thing, we're like, holy fuck, this is a reality. And trying to watch a room full of people who care about each other and care about like what is happening, have a good time while you can see the downfall of a lot of things was like
civilization.
One of the heaviest things in the entire world. And I remember going out, like I cut it, and we played through it. Like, and after that happened, everybody tried their harder to have a good time.
Oh, nice.
And it was really, really refreshing. And it was really,
like
really
being like, at the front of the boat at the last meal on the Titanic.
It was beautiful. And then, but you know, I went outside and there were people like crying, like actually crying because of it. It was the fucking strangest thing I'd ever been a part of in my entire life. And I didn't sleep that night just because I couldn't believe of like how wild that this is. So, I mean,
I think that speaks like volumes to the fact that like, we're all lost in all these affiliations where we've been divided through like, oh, well, you're this, you know, and this, and you can't be together because you don't believe that this is the same or you don't agree on this. And music is the last place where we all can like not, the only opinion you have to have is whether or not you're with it or not. And especially like emo night or whether it's coming out to a show, like you get those connections with the crowd where you're like, this is... everyone's checked it at the door and you're here and we're all gathering under this beautiful non-denominational agreement that we want to just exist right now. And especially in the culture where it's like, yo, woke, like be present. I'm grounded. Yo, how are you feeling today, man? I'm really grounded today. I'm really here. You're like everybody in LA. That's like a very LA thing for the podcast people that are like, man, I'm in Kentucky, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Is that like going out to the field party? No, it's really nice to sort of you really realize how few moments you have where you're actually like here, and when you go out to a show like whether it's music or if it's an emo night or just a gathering, it's like fuck, this is the last great congregation, and like it's such a like gladiator kind of moment where you're like I went to the Staples Center just. I forget, I wasn't watching a show. I went to like a hockey game, but I remember just looking around the arena and everybody's just pouring all this down to the hockey like rink. And I was just like, man, we don't get a lot of these anymore because everybody's stuck in your fucking phone. Like half, you know, everybody's like, you know, instant, even like, you know, everybody's, you have 2,500 times a day you touch your phone. Like 2,500, like I wish I touched myself 2,500
times a day. Is that a real
number? Yeah, that's like an average number for like a millennial or some shit.
2,500?
And I'm just like,
Is that really annoying? Because when your band started, there was really only MySpace, right?
Yeah, no,
and
it's
now
super...
there's like a million things.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, it's super annoying. And I think it's like a complete fucking distraction. But I mean, look, everybody now, this has been introduced into our lives. It's a part of us. It's like an invisible umbilical cord is like connecting us to this world that we need to follow, which I get it, man. I'm not a, but being on stage, oh man, I had this incident in Cleveland where somebody had a fucking iPad above their head like this.
Like
though.
One of the big new ones, like one of the ones that looked like a TV?
It was like the 64 gig. The only reason why I know is because I took it from her and I smashed it on stage and I just was like... And I didn't know what I was doing at the time.
Everybody's
I was just
putting their phones away right
and,
now.
Well, because I was like, fucking be here, honey. I was like, be right here, right now. I was like, what the fuck are you getting watching the TV? And the crowd was like half with me. So it was like this great sort of like, like, you know, nobody was like cheering. It was just like, oh my God. Oh, oh. And I brought, and I was like, luckily my TM was right there. I was like, oh shit. I was like, honey, how much was that iPad? She's like, I was like, well, it's $400 for an iPad, right? She's like, no motherfucker. That was the 64 gig. And I was like, shit, $900. So I paid her right there. And that, I don't know if that really made it better, but I felt good knowing that I at least made a point
you
saying like...
You made a definite point.
Yeah, but it was an expensive fucking point, man.
Sometimes you have
I was gutted afterwards, but sometimes you just want people to put... There'll actually be a point in the show where I'm like, everybody put your phones down. Don't let this memory get to anywhere else but to you, you know? Because I think that's like... That's sacred shit, man. You have those moments where you're at your favorite shows. Do you remember the moment you got the picture? I'm sure some people do, actually. Like, oh, my God, this is when I got that shot, dude. That was such a good night.
It's like,
no, man, that shit is religious, man. That shit is like, it hits you, and you're, like, with your friend, and you're on each other's arm, and you're, like, you have that beautiful connection where you're just like, man, this is us, and this is now, and this. I'm only going to be able to remember this whenever I hear this song when I'm an old fart, and I'm going to always have that sense of memory just go, oh, man, me and Jesse. Too bad we're not friends anymore, but that was everything. You know?
The only time I've been to, at this point, I've played hundreds of shows, I've been to hundreds of shows. The only time I've ever went back and watched anything was, Saves the Day show. Because I love it so much that I wanted to relive seeing that over and over and over again. And I would just, I watched it again. It was the only time I've ever done that. But I knew at the time, I was like, fuck, I want to watch this, but I also want to watch it again.
No, but there's a difference between doing that for like a nice little 30-second moment or whatever. Get your favorite song. Go, sure. But like living behind that for an entire show is sort of, it just seems really like kind of a bummer. It's like, you could do that at home.
I remember... there was a really, really... Before phones, I saw the Aquabats. And I don't know if they still do this or did this, but I remember they made everybody sit down.
Yeah.
Did you ever see them do that? Yeah, it was before phones. They were like in this disgusting venue. They were like, everybody, sit down. And it was a really like communal thing that... It was the last time I've ever seen that besides like the Wall of Death.
Yeah, you know, now like, it's like a gimmick. Like you go to a Warped Tour and everybody just goes into the pocket of like routine tricks, and you're just like, "Here comes the Wall of Death."
Yeah,
sit down, everybody, jump up on the last chorus.
I'm like really too small for any of that stuff, so I never did anything. No. Like I was just like, I got punched one time and I went to sleep, so I never want to be in a fight ever.
Yeah, no. Now it's like, who's having it? Who's having it?
Yeah, no, I know.
Just
railing Molly.
Just fucking doing it.
You guys,
what are you guys doing over there? I feel like we're having a great thing
yeah,
going on.
We're
monopolizing
I feel
the
like
conversation.
I'm
going to put
it's
this
great.
Down for a second.
Well, what about you two met in Vegas, right?
We did meet in Vegas. Yeah.
So you were
but we can't
the
talk
first,
about that.
You were the first guest DJ that we ever tried to get.
Oh
yeah,
really?
Do you know that?
Yeah.
I think I told you that.
No,
oh, yeah,
you
this
guys
is
were,
important.
You guys were way cool.
No, but also,
I was
okay,
coming
so
at the
I met
tail
Tyson
end going like, I gotta meet
at
this girl.
A casino
cool
in Vegas,
man.
And I ran up to him. I was like, Tyson from Parenthood. You remember that? And you were just like, oh.
No, dude, I've never been like, ugh. I'm always like, yeah, that was such a fun thing.
Well,
that's
yeah,
cool.
But
it's
I was
trip.
Just like fucking with you.
Yeah, no, but I was actually gambling in Vegas. I never do that. Yeah. I think it was like really, I was like, this is like a fun meeting. We're like at a craps table with Georgian or something. Yeah.
It was very fun.
I fucking hate that place.
Yeah, it's the worst place. But I saw Blink and A Day to Remember and you guys. That's why I went. I go with a purpose and then it's fine.
Man.
Everything that
I remember that tour. That was another tour where I got lost in the sort of like monotony. And I remember the dudes from Day to Remember are like totally opposite of us. Like, cause we're kind of like, you know, we're from Oklahoma and they're like, they wear like, you know, jerseys and they're like, they're a different breed than us, I guess I would say. When we're older too, they're like a little younger. And I remember like, so they didn't really associate with us at all. Cause it was just kind of like, whatever, we're all on tour and everybody's just trying to like not piss each other off. And I remember just like sort of just humor being like, I was so funny. You'd walk by these guys in the hallway and they would just be like, and so I would just sort of like, I would like stare them down when they'd come down the hallway. And I remember the singer, he just had this great look. Like he had like these super like knee-high shorts and like a cool, like off-day dad kind of vibe, you know? And like, I would just see him coming down the hall, and every time he'd come down the hall, I'd be like, rawr, 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 rawr. And he would just go. I still wouldn't get any like, hey, what's up, man? Stop fucking doing that. None of that. Not even like a normal reaction. Just sort of like, don't look at him or the madman will bite you. It was like my favorite thing to do every day. That's when you get super bored. That the last thing, like all you want to do is just fuck with people.
Just bark at the band.
Oh man, it was just so easy to do.
But you did it every day.
No, I did it a few times just because I would be like, I'd be like, is this person here?
Did you just DMX'd him?
That's what. Yeah.
You know what you should do, right? You should comment on a Day to Remember's picture right
I'm
now.
I'm surprised they never said shit. I would literally
bark at him over the picture fucking this long ago. And so he's like, God damn it, he still remembers.
I tried everything
shit.
To kind of like just get them to like crack into like a, like even a laugh sometimes. I think maybe they just thought like I was fucking with them too hard. Because on stage, I would even be like, are you guys ready for December 28th? And they're like, the crowd is like, I was like, that's the day, guys. Just so you know, that's the day to remember. They won't tell you that, but it's December 28th. And like after the show, I'd come off stage and they'd just be like, like I was like busting their balls. I was like, no, it's like literally like not even an insult. It's just kind of like, what's up, dude? Here's dad. I'm like, just like Uncle Tyson, just kind of go get him, Junior. No, but I could never really get those guys to warm up to me, probably because of all the barking, yeah.
What about the Blink guys?
Oh, it's the Blink guys. I mean, I was covering... I did a tour where I almost lost my leg because I was covering my body in glitter every day. This was sort of my... I had a phase where I wanted to go full on just... once again, I'd been on tour for like 18 months, so I was like, I got this idea when I went to this town in Germany... And I went to a late nightclub, and some girl that I was with, she had a pound of just glitter. And she's like, watch this. And like it was super sweaty, tight. We were in Berlin, like in a basement, and everybody's just, it was awesome. It was like Hackers, you know? It was like a dance sequence from Hackers.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
It was literally like, watch this. And she just like threw the whole thing up, and everybody left looking like just a strip club daydream. And... I remember I walked to the bathroom, like, it was, like, 4 in the morning. I took my shirt off, and I was, like, covered, and I was, like, oh, this is going to happen. And so I just started, I bought all this glitter, and I got a bag from Indonesia, which I don't know. Don't ever cover your body in Indonesian glitter, because it carries staph infection. And so I did a knee slide on a stage at the Blink Tour in Dallas, and I was, like... You know, scrape. That's all it was to me. And so, like, 3 days later, I, like, wake up, and I'm like, oh! And they rushed me to the emergency room, and this was, like, nowhere Florida. And the guy's like, oh, you got, like, a little infection. Here's some antibiotics, and stay on the road, have fun. So 2 days later, I'm at the Tampa show, and my knee gets worse and worse. So by the last show, and I thought it was like, oh, the antibiotics haven't really started working yet. But by the last show, I was in a wheelchair. And so I brought a fan up, and I like was like, all right, sweetheart, I'm going to point, and you just help me work it, all right? And so And so like she was like, oh my God, this is great. She like had a Reject shirt on, like, and so like I'm like pointing and she's like boop, 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 and I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd be like, and so she'd be like into it and just chasing me all over stage. It was like the funnest. But then that night, the paramedic there like saw me like after the show, like with my knee, and this red line starts going up my body, like literally in real time, and it was like a blood poisoning from the actual infection. So I almost lost my leg and I had to drop off tour, but I remember getting gurneyed out and Travis was like, Travis and like even Mark, they all came out like, what the fuck? Just what's happening? He's getting like taken out. And then this goes back to my story about everybody thought I was just like a giant druggie because I was just kind of a, like, I remember like I was getting so bored on tour, I would wake up and dress up as like Jesus and Pee Wee Herman just to sort of like fuck with people at catering because like I was bored. And so as I was leaving, Travis and Mark were just like stone faced, like, and I was like, I'm coming back, boys. I'm coming back. And fast forward to like 9 days later in the hospital, and I'm like, I'm going to die. Dude, so, what? Yeah, no. But they got it. They had to like do an emergency like thing where they cut out all the bad, dead, poisonous tissue. And
holy shit. So no, it was
like the craziest experience of my life. Yeah, and nobody really, everybody just thought,
do you have scars?
Yeah, man. I actually had this thing called like a pick line that went like all the way to my heart because like they like had to fight this fucking glitter staph infection. Ever cover your body with glitter from, I'm gonna just say, any country, and as long as you, I mean, just don't have open wounds and cover your body in glitter, because that was really what did it.
You know that you almost died because of glitter, right?
Yeah.
Like, did you ever, like, so you're in the fucking hospital and you're like, I hate art and crafts so much.
No shit, man. I will not step foot in a Michaels now. Yeah. No way. Hobby Lobby, go fuck yourself. It's your funeral.
Hey, so I want to kind of open this up to anybody that has a question for Tyson. If it's a good
panel
question.
If
it's
only
not,
if it's a good question.
If it's not a good question, I'm just going to say next.
I like so, that. I got a moderator.
Anybody?
It's cool. I've kind of told you everything.
I literally just told
well,
you. Well,
I have a
it
question. Right. I want to hear about Baps new music. Whatever you can say. I don't know how much you can say, but I've seen like teasers everywhere. And
yeah, we're putting out a little dual offering. We're kind of putting out two songs the top of July at some point. We haven't really released the date yet, but I know it, so whatever. I'm really excited about it. We've taken 5 years to put music together, and it's a long time. For some people, they probably didn't realize we put out a record called Kids in the Street in 2011. It's been since 2009 since you've heard from us. So the last 5 years was like, it's funny, man. I'm not trying to make any sort of through lines to just the scene itself, but I think a lot of people have like really pandered to evolution of music as being like, let's cash in on what's happening today. And I really kind of tried to make a conscious effort to just be a person living in the world for the first time, because I was on the road for my first 12 years of my band, and we did 24 months of touring every time. So I never got to have my life. I always gave it back to the road. So the last 5 years, I've actually been living in a house and like having a normal routine and like having a piano to approach every day to write music thoughtfully, as opposed to like, you know, I think you can, we all listen to music and we can hear when it speaks like bullshit to us. You're like, man, this is bullshit. Whatever this bit, I used to love, you read that all the time where you're like, I used to love this band until they fucking just sold me something. And so, you know, I know it sounds selfish, but it's like, I always wrote music, and you're in a band, man. Nothing gets me off more than when I make myself happy with a song I wrote. Like, I will literally walk around the house and be like, oh, man, this is my hook, man. This hook is like, I sleep, I wake up with it, and I'm like, ba-za-za, ba-za-za-za. And I'm like, which isn't really a hook that is there. But for instance of the fact that once whatever you love to create, whether it's something you draw, you paint, you express yourself through poetry, it's like the greatest feeling in the world is when you surprise yourself and when that surprise makes you happy. I did this, we got an award for this. There's an organization called ASCAP, which is like all the writers for music. And they gave us a really cool award. And I remember I stood up in front of everybody. And this is like people like that have written every great song that's still alive. And it's just a room full of people. And I was just like humbled at just that moment. And I was just like, as a writer, I said, as a writer, you're only as happy as the last thing you wrote made you feel. And it's been 5 years since the Rejects have put out music, but this is truly the happiest I've ever felt doing what I do. And for me, that's enough. I don't know if the fans of the first record, All American Rejects fans, look, I was 17 when we wrote that shit. Like, if you expect me to stay in that time capsule for you, then you're just diminishing what I am or what music can be. But for those of you who have grown up with us, like, it's funny, man. You might, like I said, I love being the Bastards of Emo because we were the people that, no matter what, you hated or loved this band, we were there as a bookmark, whether it was, you know, on the Muzak and Chili's or, like, you know, at the fucking crazy sort of beach house that you didn't want to be at where they put on Move Along. You're like, this isn't my shit, but it doesn't matter. Like, our music evokes that sort of memory to a time where you, I mean, at least whenever I think back to being younger, I think about that being like the pure me. And now it's like, man, my brain's always just going over the top and I'm always thinking too much. But it's, you know, I hope that what we are offering with this new music shows that you want to come with us, because I'm really, like I said, I'm really, really proud of what we're offering. And visually, too, like, I signed a record deal when I was 17, and I don't know if you remember what you were like when you were 17, man, but, dude, I was completely, I had these giant fat cats in L.A. I was on DreamWorks Records, and they were like, here you go, son, like, Sonny. Like, they were like my parents, like my product manager, which is somebody in the label that sort of is like, they sort of help usher you, and they found us Marco Siega, who directed our first video for Swing Swing and Dirty Little Secret. And that was sort of something that was farmed out without consultation to our band, because we weren't taught, all we wanted to do was rock and roll. We were like, visual, what? I don't fucking know how I want, you mean you take pictures of us? We don't just go play shows and shit? So we kind of had always had somebody over us helping push the Ouija, you know, to be a visual curation of what the band actually is. And I'm 33 now, and I finally sort of, like, during this process of making this new music, I was like, you know what? I want to control the visual. I want to have say in what this is going to look like, because it's not just how it sounds anymore. It's like, it's headphones and, you know, 3D glasses. So I wanted to make sure that it was this immersive experience. And we're getting ready to put out a music video it's a short film directed by this incredible, incredible director, Jamie Thraves, who did my favorite Radiohead music video for a song called Just. And he did this really great reverse video for Coldplay for The Scientist. And he and I, we created this concept together, and it was really, like, natural. And, like, we started it from, like, the ground level of building characters for this film. And it's not a music video. It's, like, a really kind of a big head fuck that makes you have fun and then also makes you kind of question what identity is, because everybody's a different person in every room they walk into. And that's kind of this metaphor for the band as a whole, because we've changed. We've grown up. And our identity, we're still the All-American Rejects, but this is us with big kids' gloves on, so... That's a long-winded answer.
Are we allowed to say that we've seen it?
Like, yeah, you guys saw it.
Are you mad at us?
No. I'm really glad you guys saw it. I got off the phone with Babs the other day, and I was like, you know what, man? Everything about this has to feel natural. I even texted you. I was like, I want to figure out how to like work with you guys, because you guys aren't full of shit, and a lot of people over in the Great Wall Ivory Tower of, you know, giant record companies, it's tough being the indie emo band or whatever we were in a confused pop culture right now, because everybody, look, you see what happens to your favorite bands whenever they go through the washing machine of major label merchandising, whore yourself out to every little thing, put the sticker on it. I'm not saying I didn't do a Lego commercial back when I was 20.
Did you?
Bionicles. But it's funny because it's like, that was a perfect example of like, yo, hey, you're going to do this now. It's like, okay, whatever. And it's like, wow, looking back, it's like, it's nice to finally actually hold your own Johnson and say, I'm gonna fuck this. I'm not fucking with that. Like, there's a beautiful thing when you know what you are.
I mean, we care about this stuff, and that's why we do it.
I can tell.
Like,
it's really nice.
It's like, we like care about it. We grew up doing
this. I mean,
this
is nice. This is an accomplishment
every flyer
in itself.
From every emo night we've done. Like, we put this up and we're just standing in front of her, like crying, just like
it's
looking
epic.
At all of
it's
it.
It's an epic we accomplishment, care. Man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank it's you. 2.5 years of.
I mean, everything from fucking like.
Insanity.
Our
and you
art.
Have people like, and you guys have haters, like, you know, you guys.
Oh,
have,
hell yeah!
You guys
oh,
have people that have talked
yeah,
shit
have
that
haters.
Are in the bands that you play and keep yes. alive in the celebration that want to think it's. A bastardization, but it's not. It's like if you all you have to do is come to one of these and go, oh,
that's
guess
what? We
what?
Said.
It's not a.
That's what we say. To
like
the
talk
haters.
Shit from 8,000 miles. It's a geographical sort of disconnect.
But
like,
it's funny.
You're
sometimes we talk about
away.
This. Like that used to get to us so much. Like people would say shit, and I was like, oh my god, we have to stop this. Like I can't handle this emotionally. But now I don't care at all.
No, you gotta.
But
embrace
did that
it.
Ever get to you? Like, did you ever read like comments or negative? Reviews or whatever, and did that ever get to you?
I still
was
even catch
ever
myself.
Was there ever one negative review?
Yeah, man, no. People, there's always been that, man. There's always been people that have hated this band because, you know, we were too poppy for them or we were, you know, just not in the scene right or just, I don't know. At the end of the day, you either, it's like fucking wine or it's like, you know, a Butterfinger. I don't like Butterfingers, but I bet a lot of people in this room fucking love a Butterfinger from time to time.
Dude, it's the fucking the
it's like saying my tongue can't taste what you taste. It's the same with your ears. Your ears have taste buds.
And it's okay to like what you like is the thing. And
you know,
also
actually, what's funny is when your first album came out, it's all I would listen to, but also all I ate then was Butterfingers. So like when I think
so
back on listening
think
to it, like the kid size, like fun size ones, it's all I ate. So
see, well, now I'm ruined.
I mean, you guys started a while, like before social and digital happened, and now
MySpace
like,
was a thing.
It was a fucking thing, dude. And
it's
now,
a happening thing.
And I
he still got it.
I got one fan.
But
of MySpace.
I remember like if we put out an album, it was harder to get. Reactions from fans, and now you can put out an album and a fan can be like, fuck this, you suck, I hate you so much.
Oh,
and
it's
like,
easy to get that, man.
And which is the great and terrible thing about the internet, and I say this all the time, it gives everybody an opinion, which is awesome and awful.
Yeah.
Because I like...
But that's life, right?
That's life.
It's kind of like this hyper reduction of life, because life is everything. Life is the shit that is handed to you, but it's also what do they say? You can't. Laughter comes from knowing pain. So, I appreciate the people who talk shit. I think they keep conversations going. I appreciate people who praise because I think those are the people that actually own the shit that they love. So, what good would there be in this world without bad?
I mean, if somebody's not upset at you, you're doing something wrong. Is the way I always have and everybody's upset at me. All the time.
You seem like a pretty level guy, though.
Which, shockingly, everybody's fucking pissed.
Yeah, unless your hair is shorter than an inch.
Who's mad at me right now in here? Alan. Yeah, I know. All right.
Well, we're at about an hour.
Wow, we've really flown through this, man. Cool.
Thank you for coming by and doing.
Thanks
this.
Thanks for having. Wait, awesome. Hang on. Did you guys like the video?
Dude, I have a lot of
it's
stuff to
so
say about
tight.
It.
We'll talk about it.
I have like almost
later.
Too many things.
I can't
to say
about it all on there, but we. I like.
Babs we turned said, off all the
it's
lights.
Gonna,
yeah, when the second
shades.
We got it, we like drew the shit. Like,
oh
we just,
no, you
yeah.
guys gave it like a proper watch.
Oh, we put
man.
It on a TV. Like we did the whole
awesome.
Thing.
Oh, that means the world,
so
man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and I was
it's
just
not,
like crying. It was
it's
fine.
Not a rejects video. Though.
It's awesome.
Like, it's different.
Which is great because
I think
different.
We got like 3 minutes in and we were just like looking at each other like.
Yeah, I was like tearing up. Yeah.
Great. Okay, sorry. I should have asked.
And I've probably watched it like five times since then.
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to figure out like
what's going
the
on
meaning,
there.
But I know it's different for everyone maybe.
Yeah, that's the kind of point. Yeah, it's like it's got your own takeaway.
Yeah. So, but cool. Now we're leaving everyone on
either
the
way,
edge of their seats.
It's either way, it's like beautifully shot
you're
and directed and it looks awesome and it was like really impressive to watch.
Oh,
so.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay,
just,
sorry. You guys are trying to wrap up. I just wanted to. I was like, right. Well, what did you guys think? Yeah. And I probably won't get to ask
you. They're like,
you.
But talk about me
I'll put
a
you
little
on
bit.
It. Yeah, come on. What about that? Thank you guys for hanging out with us and for letting me come to be a part of the us that I am collecting myself with.
Yeah. And again, and thank you so much to Space 1520. You guys have been absolutely fucking amazing.
The
staff
people.
Here is better at us than us at everything. I don't know how you...
Shiva, John, and Brian, yeah. Thank you guys for
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. So, and then thank you from Tyson, from the All-American Rejects. We're all huge fans, and we really appreciate you doing this with us, man.
Cheers.
So, all right.
Thank you.
Emo
thank
Night
you
forever.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!